Peter Graham, Sabrina George here for New Comedy Radio, chatting to you in your club downstairs at the King's Head, preparing for a gig. We're going to carry on until we need to open up.
An audience arrives.
Pete, is this the second or third ever alternative comedy club? Because it's somewhere in that list, isn't it?
What we do know is we're the oldest that is still in its original home.
Right. It's about 25 years this year.
Yeah, in October. So, prior to... the eldest was, which you can put your finger on, was a place called the Earth Exchange, which, ironically, was just up the road from here. Vegetarian restaurant. No, it was up at Jax's Lane. Near Highgate Tube.
So what brought you to open this place?
Well, Hugh, who is... Hugh Thomas was the front man for this space for many years, regular compere. He had gone to the Comedy Store in its original home and done a couple of the gong shows. Quite enjoyed the whole buzz and vibe of it, but wanted to set up something more local to where he lived, which was in Crouch End at the time. And he put together a couple of Sunday shows, and soon worked out that he was absolutely useless at organising things. Great on stage, but... So, I, as an ex-student of his, and was working with him at the time anyway as a musician on various projects, he asked if I'd take over the administrative side. So, that's how it started, really.
Because you do music as well as...
Oh, we do all sorts of things, and spoken word stuff, poetry and magic shows, and we have salsa dance here on it.
And what were you doing before you were a musician?
I was an actor.
You were an actor?
I was a child actor, and then I went to Middlesex Poly, as was then, to do a degree in performance art. And that's where I met Hugh. So this room was set up as the antithesis of some of the bear pit clubs.
Right.
We wanted a sort of friendly, supportive, celebratory room.
Which is what, it's got a reputation.
Yeah, we've kept that going. It's still a bit sort of... bohemian, and I don't take kindly to idiots heckling. I don't mind if it's constructive heckling, but it depresses me when you get the numpties coming out on a Saturday night.
So
really
what gives you a buzz about doing what you're doing? Because you've done it for an awful long time.
Sleeping with women.
You're sleeping with women?
Hopefully I will.
That's
the reason we set the club up. Hugh was far more successful than I've ever been.
You're still waiting?
Yes.
For that first...
Yeah, and I might close it after that, if
right,
it happens.
Could be me, Peter. You never know.
No, it sounds crass, but I still enjoy it. At the moment, I don't. And I live quite a way away, and, you know, you get in the car and you think, it's too, you know, an hour-long journey to get here. But I still, you know, if I'm going to get in that car and not want to come here, then I'll pass
it. And what gives you a buzz, spotting somebody who you think...
The real buzz is genuinely seeing people leave having, for 2.5 hours, you know, had a pleasant part of their life looked after.
And what's your, if you like, your policy on booking acts? Well, how do you gauge on who you're going to book and how you're going to arrange an evening?
I still hold stall by variety.
Right.
I mean, even in the context of a comedy show, there'll be a variety of styles, even though they might be 5 stand-ups. But I suppose in a way I have in my head a grading system of somebody. We don't use the word headliner here. I tell my compares not to use it. I don't see the point of it. Everybody contributes to the evening, even if they're doing a 10-minute spot or an hour long. But I mean, the result of that is that I will often, you know, I book people on the merit that I think they are as a performer. So, you know, you do get situations where we have an all-women bill, and people will say, you know, why have you done that? Is it International Women's Day, or is it that you still want to shag and you think the chances are better? And it genuinely is that it hasn't even crossed my mind that it's all women.
Right.
It's just that I've put together a bill that's various, and... there might be somebody who's newer on that bill and somebody's long established, and it's done on the basis of how good I think they are as performers, you know.
How they'll fit in the bill. And what do you do when you sort of do, because you do the famous opens up at night on the Thursday, where literally anybody can come and do a 5-minute slot.
It's a carte blanche.
And when you when you're watching that, do you see someone and do you get a bit of excitement?
Yes. Yeah,
oh, they might be a bit raw at the moment, but yeah. I can see.
I see. I tend not to listen to material as much as watch people, how they work the room, how they work the audience, because that's you know, a big part of this medium. But every now and again you'll see somebody who's got it straight away, you know, just they're naturally good with an audience. And they may not have the best material, but they just have a good ambience and a good sort of symbiosis, as it were, with the room. And also you'll see people who are much better writers than our performers, and sometimes I'll point them in the direction of writing workshops and BBC work. It's a hard thing to say to somebody, you know, I actually think you would, your material would do better in somebody else's mouth. But some people are sanguine about it, some people don't hear it, but a lot of people are realistic about the fact that they're not natural performers.
And
but I do watch people develop. You know, I've watched people coming in for 5 years thinking, oh, you know, they're doing the same thing again, and suddenly they crack it.
Yeah.
Find a way of making that stuff work.
Yeah. And what do you feel very good when people ask you for feedback, or do you go a bit, oh God? Because you get asked a lot. I know a lot of comics take what you say very, very seriously.
I'm fairly honest, generally, but sometimes there are things that aren't said. I mean, my notes are probably worth a lot of money. I do keep notes on everyone.
Just, you're famous for having your notes, which no one's ever read or seen.
Well, they will. When I die, somebody will dig them out. You'll see some funny things there. But the advice I usually give is, you know, if you think something is, you know, what you're saying is humorous, you know, keep doing that. You know, don't try and be like Ezzie Izzard or like Dylan Moran or like Harry Hill or you know, you've got to find your own voice, and that's the long haul. That's the, you know, like the repertory system of the theatre in the old days. You learn your ropes doing these sort of nights on the Thursdays to, you know, in most clubs, not so much here, but in most clubs to very few people. But you have to learn, you know, how to make it work most of the time.
With whatever you get.
Yes.
But your audience here tends to be, compared to other clubs, more middle class, intelligent, and very comedy literate. Yeah. They like their comedy.
Well, they've had 25 years of it, so they've had to learn. But the area's changed. When we started, it was bedsit land, and our big night was Sunday night, because nobody had work the next day. Now you can't buy a garage here for less than $500,000.
Oh.
And so everybody's got to work.
It's changed quite a bit.
It's now Mediaville, and so there's a lot of savvy people here anyway, you know, because they're working in the media industry.
And what do you think over the 25 years has been some of the main shifts in comedy that you've seen or you've observed?
Well, the irony is that it's come full circle. What it set out to be different from, the old mainstream, it has now become. I knew it had happened. Jimmy Tarbuck said that the only difference between when the circuit started in the sort of early 80s, the only difference between the new comics and the old comics was that the new comics say fuck a lot and don't play golf. But I knew it had changed about 15 years ago when I saw two comics in the dressing room discussing golf swings.
And so they went on stage and said fuck along. Or didn't say fuck along.
No, it's become, I mean, obviously it feeds television feeds off it, but with the perhaps the pleasant exception that, you know, racism and sexism and, you know, nastiness on the whole is generally not acceptable. I mean, the old, what we used to call the chicken in the basket circuit still exists. There's still end of the beer shows and working men club comics who just have a pool of jokes that they agree on beforehand, that one will do the cauliflower joke and the other one will do the two nuns. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so you know that circuit still exists, but I think they've become a lot closer now. You know, and you look at the larger clubs, the chains of clubs that are businesses and don't really exist to promote comedy. They're there to you know get people in to drink their drinks and have a meal and wait for the disco afterwards. You know. This club is still committed to developing and nurturing comedy. That's what.
And you also again generally have a reputation for supporting the oddballs, the ones that probably wouldn't get into the mainstream thing ever.
Yeah.
I mean, again, women, black people, you're very
oddballs. Women and black people.
We still are, unfortunately.
I think when you say oddballs to me, I hear that what that means to me is somebody who's not, you know, working within the usual, you know, one man and a microphone. Isn't it funny that, you know, I think some of the funniest moments we've ever had down here have been the clowns and the madmen and the,
yeah,
you know, it's when a bit of magic happens that you don't expect.
Because it is about the live performance rather than, yeah. Is my material honed enough for some telling?
Well, yes, it's got very slick. And that's partly to do with the plethora of, you know, teach yourself stand-up, which you can do anywhere around London now.
Yeah.
And there are some good teachers. There's some piss-poor teachers. I think there should be some teach yourself audience rules classes, and people should come with a certificate to say they're not a twat when they walk in.
So are you doing any music on the side at all?
Yeah, I'm a composer. Well, I made my living as a composer. I used to write for television and radio.
You're still doing that?
A bit.
Because yeah. I've seen you once completely strip someone off for doing what was patently racist material. And I know you do have policies and things that you do find unacceptable.
I will tell people if I think... I'll tell people if I think they're stealing material, because having sat here for so long, I know most of what's been before, and can normally pinpoint a source. I mean, there's some common domain, you know, public domain jokes, but I don't like things that are misogynistic. I don't see point of that unless there is some self-deprecation involved. You know, racism, I can't see the point of it either. I don't see what that does apart from, kindle the fire of idiocy. If people are still stupid enough to believe that people
running
are different
down
because
other
of the way
people,
they look or the way they sound or whatever.
Yeah, and that's because I know you've told me once, I think it was last year, that you've only actually ever banned
two people.
Four.
Two that I've said never come back here, and one of which Hugh actually said I should give a booking to, because I thought he was so... I mean, his act was about physically hurting his sister through the vagina with a knife, and then when he came off stage and I told him, you know, my jaw had hit the floor. I thought, you know, what is this guy trying to do, an Andrew Dice Clay? Or I realised it wasn't. This guy needed hospital. He turned out to be a minicab driver, you know, and so Hugh suggested we book him for the following Sunday night, on the basis that at least we'd know where he was that night and get the police in and nick him.
Do everybody a favour.
And the other person was banned because of his behaviour in and around this club, which, and particularly his attitude and behaviour around women, that I didn't like at all. I banned a few members of the audience, but usually for being drunk or...
And you tend not to take large groups of nurses?
I won't.
Police,
no. People ring up and I point them elsewhere. Mm. No, this room takes 120 people. You get a group of 25 in. That's a different agenda to work with. I think people pay 7-8 quid to come and see a show on a Saturday night. I don't think you should have to, as part of the audience, have to deal with somebody's birthday or, you know, and they've already been drinking since 5. There are other places that can deal with that. We don't have any gorillas on the door. At the moment we have that, I'll start thinking differently about this club, whether I want to keep it going. I'm very careful with who I have on the door, doing the tickets, and who I have comparing, because it all feeds into what the room is like. And large groups don't suit it.